This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Jewels of Illumination books 1-3 box set is out. Oban is a broken man who just might find redemption guarding a scholar from bandits, a criminal syndicate, and a dark necromancer. Avina is a woman haunted by guilt who has to learn if she can trust Oban. Together, they can break free of their past or be lost. You can buy or borrow Jewels of Illuminations books 1-3 from Amazon. Today, I'm joined by Zach Pieper. He is the author of the epic fantasy novel, The Garden of Lies.
How are you doing today, Zach?
I'm alive and well. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's my birthday, so of course I'm coming down with a cold.
Oh, don't you hate how life seems to pull those stupid little tricks on us?
Yeah. So, I always like to start these interview out with a fun question or two, and given what your book is about, I thought I'd ask, what is your favorite type of shifter?
I'm a stickler for the classics, werewolf.
All right.
I'm a big canine guy. I've had dogs as pets my whole life. I absolutely love canines of any stripe. Wolves are my favorite animal. Absolutely majestic creatures, and I'm fascinated with lycans and werewolves and shapeshifters of that variety. Absolutely love them.
Yeah, that's a great. So, Zach, how long have you wanted to be an author?
I've loved storytelling since I was a kid. But originally I wanted to write stories for video games. I wanted to be part of a video game creation team. And then when I got to high school and I got more into reading, because I didn't read a lot as a kid, but when I got more into reading in high school, I said, maybe I could write a book. And I actually cooked up the idea for this book with my best friend freshman year. And we never got around to writing it when we were in high school, obviously. And then years later, I said, you know what? I got to write that thing.
Oh, cool. And are you still in touch with your friend? Or?
Unfortunately, he is no longer with us.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Life happens.
Yeah. I mean, I had a good friend that wanted to do video games, too. And he went to Digipan. It's like a technical college for that. And then I lost track of him. I don't know if he actually ever went through with it. I know he graduated, but I don't know if he actually, did it or not. Anyway, so let's talk about your book, The Garden of Lies. It's a shifter fantasy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could describe it that way. I prefer to describe it as an epic fantasy. And the shifters are just one component of many. I have a class of magic users, for lack of a better term, which I call the shaman. And then I obviously have my shifter races, and then there's humans. But more than being just about the shifters, it really is a story of truth seeking and rebellion against societal evil.
Okay. And so who is our truth seeker and our rebel?
Dolge Thorne.
All right. Tell us about him.
Well, Dolge Thorne is kind of, if there was a way to get a perfect reflection of yourself, that's who I would be, if that makes sense. And it is, my novel is very much a reflection of who I wish I could be and the person I see myself as in a perfect world kind of thing. And Dolge Thorne is a young man brought up to be a warrior and enforcer for an empire that he knows is evil. And he spends his entire childhood and teenage years in this constant state of dread, where he knows when he comes of age and finishes his training, he's going to be a full warrior and he's going to have to start doing evil things. And he until the events of the book get rolling, he kind of was doing everything in his power to ignore that dreadful reality. He's a guy who loves to laugh. He loves to spend time with his friends. He likes to be in his workshop pounding metal. He's a smith. His father was a blacksmith, and his father passed the craft on. And, you know, in many ways, he's just your average guy who ends up forced into extraordinary circumstances, both by circumstance of his birth and by sheer coincidence.
Okay. So, there are any other characters in the story?
Oh, absolutely. I have one of the comments I got very early on when I was shopping it around to beta readers and critique partners and everything is, you have a huge cast. It's almost hard to keep track of everyone. Yeah, I have Dolge Thorn, and he has his pack, which is five wolf shifters like him. His pack consists of him as the alpha, his beta, which is Pogsworth Macrophage, who is based on my good friend Timothy McHugh. And then there is Murday Havrock, Trap Master Murday Havrock, Courageous Claspan Kavat, and then Stalker Steer Guild Wellspore. And that's Dolge's pack. And then he has a pack of enemies who are led by just the most deplorable noble you could imagine. And the leader of that pack is one of the main antagonists of the story. That's Arian Anathema. There's another pack led by a noble who is led by Amnis Lupine, eldest daughter of a noble house. Absolutely dynamite gal in terms of look and in personality. Fierce, intelligent. Not someone you want to pick a fight with. The love interest is Angel Kawaii. She's a human who, well, there's a lot to say about her. But in essence, she makes it her mission to make Dolge part of the rebellion. And there's so many more. I mean, I could really go on. I have, like I said, a pretty sizable cast of this thing.
So, her last name's Kawaii.
Kawaii, yeah, like the Japanese word for cute.
Okay, yeah. I was going to go there, but yeah.
Yep, exactly like that. Yep.
So, you like anime?
I love anime.
Oh, yeah? What's your favorite anime?
Whew, you know, that's kind of a hard question because there's so many outstanding anime that I have seen, and it's really hard to pick one anime that's my favorite. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is a very strong contender.
Yeah, I haven't watched all that. I've read all the manga, which I'm told Brotherhood follows very closely.
Yeah,
The manga. Unlike the first season, which departs from the manga fairly early.
Exactly. Yeah, the original anime, they ran out of manga, so they just wrote their own storyline for the original anime, and then they said no, we're gonna adapt the manga because the manga is so much better.
That's what the impression I had, because I stopped watching. I kind of didn't get into the anime too bad. I thought there was too much filler stuff into it.
Exactly.
So I think that's part of the problem. Like, I just like, okay, this just feels like filler.
Yeah. And 100%. And not only that, even when they do have main story episodes, the original anime just did not tell as good of a story, and it didn't make as much sense. And it didn't have the same hard-hitting thematic and symbolic messaging that Brotherhood had.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it missed out on some of like the later characters, which are really great, like the ninjas and.
Oh yeah.
But okay. Anyway, so that's enough anime talk before we bore everyone.
Except for the weebs.
Yeah, well, that's my roommate. He runs it.
In fact,
he owns an anime store.
Oh,
he actually owns it. Yeah, he's really annoyed because he's selling a lot of Gundam model kits right now, but there's a shortage of Gundam model kits, and he was like, "I'm getting an order in, and it's less models than I sold last week," and he's like running out of inventory, and he's like doing the best business. It's like everyone is buying Gundam model kits right now.
That's a good problem to have.
Until he runs out of supply and suddenly he's not making any money. Yeah. Anyways, all right. So you said you came up with a story with your friend in high school?
Yeah.
So how much of, like, the story is, like, remain intact? Like, I understand, like, you might have a concept. I find that when I write a story, I pretty much diverge pretty far from kind of what I thought it would be. And that might just be me, but did you stick pretty close to it, or did you find yourself having to, like, change things around to sort of, I don't know, maybe just there are problems with the plot that you didn't recognize in the outlining stage or stuff like that?
I would say yes and no. So to give a little bit more background on the reason the book actually got created, I had a traumatic life event, and I needed something to distract me from that. And so I thought that would be a great outlet, was sitting down and immersing myself in this world that me and my friend created. And he was actually still alive when I started writing. And I told him about it, and every now and then I would call him and ask if we were going to do this or that. And so to answer your question without going into too much nitty-gritty detail, it's pretty close to what me and him originally imagined. The main thing that changed was it actually had a lot more meat added to it. There's more side plots, more characters, and the world is much more fleshed out than the original outline me and him drew up.
Okay. So this is going to be a series, right?
Yep. This is book one of three, and there's, well, I'll just say that for now. This is book one of three.
And so, when it came to actually writing it, are you kind of more, so you outlined it, but do you find yourself, like, pantsing more of it, or do you, you know, stick very faithfully to the outline once you've got it all figured out?
I'm a hybrid between an engineer and a gardener. Okay. I had pretty I had moderately detailed outlines. I outlined every chapter, and I did it in bullet point style, where I had a list of things that needed to happen during the chapter, and I kind of went from that's the amount of outlining I did. And sometimes I would miss a bullet point, or sometimes I would do a bunch of stuff in a chapter that I didn't expect, and so I had to adjust the following chapters to accommodate that. But besides that, there was a ton of content. I mean, just moments where I truly felt like I had divine inspiration, where I'm just sitting there typing, going by what I know I need to get in this chapter, and this brilliant, or what I perceive to be brilliant, the free market will be the judge, but just these brilliant ideas hit me. And a lot of them were just added into the story wholesale, no questions asked, in the moment, because I was like, oh, that is too good not to throw in.
Okay. So what lessons did you learn writing your, this is your first novel, right?
Yep.
Yes. What lessons do you think you learned from doing that?
A lot. Oh, man. Do your research is a big one. And then I've learned a lot about business and marketing, and how to build a social media following, and all of this has been self-education, you know, stuff that I've had to, you know, if you want people to read your stuff, you got to figure these things out. Another thing I learned, and this goes into the business side of it, is get receipts, get contracts. My original artist for the book never came through. I paid her $250 and she just flaked. And if I had maybe had some kind of a contract, I might have had some legal recourse, but it was kind of a gentleman's agreement. So get contracts, people. You never know who's going to screw you.
Yeah, I had an artist that, like, we were going through, like, the changes, and then they just stopped communicating, and I had to find a new artist, and they were better, so in the end it worked out. But,
you know, I never got to see only ever got to see black and white hand drawings from my original artist, so I don't know if her digital cover would have been good or not.
Yeah, this is the pitfalls of the stuff. But I meant kind of more about the writing process when I asked my question.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So definitely learned quite a bit about that, too. Like I said, I did a lot of self-education on AuthorTube, and I spent a lot of time kind of looking into how other people do things. And I says to myself, none of this makes sense for me. And I kind of just decided to go my own way, kind of forge ahead how I did it. And what I quickly learned was, if I just listened to what was in my head and what was in my heart, I didn't necessarily need any kind of routine or process outside of that. I just let things come and wrote them down. And as long as I checked myself for consistency, read over my material to make sure I wasn't contradicting myself, you know, it all turned out really great. And the writing process is, that's such a vague term in a lot of ways, because everyone's process is so different. And there's just so many ways you can approach it.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question. I'm always curious how other people do it.
Yeah, mostly my process looks like this. Get an idea, flesh it out, write it down, and then write it down long form when you're actually putting it into narrative.
Okay. So you said you did research on blacksmithing?
Oh, a lot of that, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so it's always fun when you can dive into something like that. I know some authors can really get into that. I remember reading like Ellie Motzet's Recluse books, and sometimes it was like a how to be a carpenter at times.
Yeah, you know, besides, blacksmithing, I actually specifically did a lot of research on Wootz Damascus steel, because it is the best blade steel humans have ever created, and it's actually an ancient steel. It's almost like a fantasy story in real life, because, I mean, these ancient, it was, if I remember correctly, it was actually came out of Persia, what's now Persia, and they just had these fantastic blades that stayed sharp, and they were durable as hell, and they would cut through anything. And for decades, like hundreds of years afterwards, after the science was lost, no one knew how they did it. And it was actually, I found a documentary where a team of scientists, and these aren't like people who had a big grant or anything, they were doing this for the passion of it, and they had PhDs in metallurgy and related fields and stuff, and they said, no, we're going to figure this out. And they figured it out, and that was a documentary about their process and how they did it, and that documentary had so much interesting information in it. So that was a big chunk of my research. Then I researched horse husbandry, some herbology, some stuff, some stuff that relates to herbology and how it affects different people and different animals, because obviously I have all these different species of shifter and I have regular humans. And I was like, how would this drug affect a human versus a shifter? It's a, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, there was a decent amount of research I did for this thing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Damascus Hill, they just they knew how to get a good amount of carbon into the steel, right? They figured out some way to do that.
That's only the tip of the iceberg. The thing that makes Wootz Damascus so insanely strong is it actually has a unique mineral. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's this metallic crystal mineral, and it's only found in certain mines. It's not a very prevalent naturally occurring substance. You have to find the right ore. And so if you then have this ore and you forge it properly through a proper heating and cooling cycle, if you read my book, you'll get the gist of how it's done. then you get Wootz Damascus, and it is just superb. And by the way, I specifically say Wootz Damascus because modern Damascus steel is not true Damascus steel. Wootz Damascus is the name that's kind of been given to it in modern times because we want to clarify between the two. Modern Damascus steel is usually just a layered alloying, and it's the forging process is actually closer to katana folding, whereas Wootz Damascus is a totally separate process. And like I said, what the key ingredient is that rare mineral.
Sorry, I'm on Wikipedia trying to figure out what this mineral was, but
it's distracting me now. Got it.
You're done talking, so I have to. It's fine. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, I could send you the documentary too if you like.
Oh no, that's all right. I'll just forget about it. Anyways, so Garden of Lies. That comes out in a week?
It comes out May 17th is the official release day.
A little more than 2 weeks away. And you got the next, you working on the next book now, or?
So, book two, the rough draft is done. Had a burp there. But the rough draft of book two is done. The only thing that I'm waiting on in terms of getting the ball rolling further is getting kind of the marketing and everything for book one situated and underway, and then money to pay my editor. And there's also some developmental editing I probably want to do before I even send it away to the editor. But the rough draft is done, and it's not going to take a whole lot of work in terms of the developmental stage. So it's probably going to be in my editor's hands maybe in 2 or 3 months.
Okay, cool. Well, it was really great talking with you, Zach. If you want to tell our listeners where they can connect with you on social media.
Absolutely. So I can be found just about at all the places at Zach the Dalge, ZackTheDalj, all one word, no caps. Just Twitter, Facebook, Minds, Parler, if it ever comes back there. Same thing with YouTube. If you type that in your address bar, YouTube/ZackTheDalge, I'll come up. YouTube is the place where I actually prefer to be interacted with. I take questions. I make videos from my fans' questions. I answer comments. That is where I am most active by far. After that would probably be Facebook. And my book is available in all three formats, soft, hard, and ebook at Barnes & Noble's. It is available as an ebook from Amazon, and the paperback will be made available on release day. I don't know why Amazon doesn't let you pre-order paper copies from them, but they don't.
No one knows.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. And it is also available as an ebook from everywhere where draft to digital aggregates to. I can't memorize the 12 That's or fine. So stores they do it, but yeah.
All right. Well, it was really great talking with you, Zach.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I appreciate you having me on. And again, I'm so sorry for for that being late.
That's fine. You have a good one.
Yeah, you do the same, sir.
All right. Bye.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com. And follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.